Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, again, good morning. Happy Father's Day. Thanks for joining in with us. We are right in the midst of our sermon series on courage. And in the last weeks, we've actually talked about courage in the face of enemies. And how can we courageously never put anyone in the category of enemy in our own lives? How can we live like Jesus in that way? We've also talked about how do we show courage to live life well when others place us in the category of enemy in their lives. And then last week, we specifically talked about courage and enemies in light of what is happening around the world to do with racism. And we also expanded that because of the context we live in here in Belfast to include sectarianism. And if you missed that sermon, you can get it on our YouTube channel. And how do we live lives that never place a group or a person in the category of other? And what does the Bible say about that? And we heard last week that the scriptures are really, really clear that racism and sectarianism and exclusions are great evils and sin, and they are the opposite of the biblical vision. And followers of Jesus who take their faith seriously are required and invited to live courageous lives that refuse to fear the other and instead welcome and lay down our lives for the other, just like Jesus did for us. And again, I'm not trying to say in these talks on racism, sectarianism, and treating people as the other that we're all terrible at this in BCV. I actually think you are a beautiful community that does all it can to live out the way of Jesus, and I'm so proud to be one of your leaders and pastors. But we do need to talk about these issues, and today we're going to be talking about courageous actions we can take in face of racism and sectarianism and division and systemic evil. And it may feel like there's not a lot of Bible, and that's because last week we kind of did all the Bible parts, and then now we're going to do all the action parts this week. It was supposed to be kind of one long sermon, so they go together. So catch up if you missed it. And before we leap into some courageous actions, I just want to give us a bit of a snapshot about what we as a church have seen on our streets in our very own city. So some people have kind of said, look, is this really a problem? Isn't this a problem in the bigger cities in England and Scotland, and certainly a problem in America? Well, through our Compassion Ministry Storehouse, we have been able to serve people from 57 different nations. That's a lot of different nations and colors and backgrounds and nationalities, and that is wonderful, and it's a great privilege. The record for one of our sessions, we do three sessions a week to serve people. The record is on one night, one session alone, we had 19 different nationalities represented, which we love to serve, and we think that that's amazing. We also unfortunately know that people from our community in BCV and people who we've served in Storehouse in this year alone have been abused due to the color of their skin. That's happened. That's a fact. We know that. And in the last year, people from our city and who we've connected with at Storehouse have had their homes egged. They've been intimidated in where they live. And sadly, a BCV family this year had to go in the middle of the night to help a family we serve through Storehouse move out. They were put out in the middle of the night due to the color of their skin. And you might be sitting here thinking, well, look, Andy, you're kind of confusing some issues. It's more like an immigration issue and things like that. It's not about race. Well, here's what I know. I know that's not true because I immigrated to Belfast almost 20 years ago. And I have never suffered anything like what some of our folks in BCV and many of the people we serve and love through Storehouse have suffered. And the reason's really uncomfortable, but it's because I'm white. That's the reason. I've never suffered that. So all that to say is that racism is part of a fabric of our community. And so we need to talk about it. And as the people of Jesus, we need to stand against racism. We need to take action. And we also need the kind of people that do that with sectarianism and anything that tempts us to place a person or a group in the category of other. And the reality is the world that we live in is complex and difficult. And we might be sitting here thinking, like, what can I do in the face of systemic evil? And what can little old me do? But we must begin somewhere. And talking about it over the last couple of Sundays is a great place to start. And just asking the question, how can we take the biblical vision and see it lived out in real actions that are robust and make a daily difference and aren't just noise or temporary posturing? So here are some humble suggestions for courageous actions as we try and live like Jesus in the face of racism and sectarianism and exclusion. Well, the first action that I have for us is actually like a heart posture. It's called lament. It's lament. What is a lament? Well, a lament isn't feeling bad. It's not Facebook outrage. A lament is very biblical. Lament is an action that expresses deep grief in the face of an overwhelmingly tragic or desperate situation, usually in response to great sin or the culmination of sin. And laments are pointed towards God. And the Bible is full of laments. In the book of Psalms, a number of the Psalms are lament Psalms. We have a whole book of the Bible called Lamentations, which is one big lament. And again, a lament expresses grief and shock and powerlessness. It expresses questions we have for God in the face of what seems like unsolvable problems and pain and the effects of sin. You can get a flavor of a lament in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 11. My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed. A biblical lament is also like a safe space where God's people can question him. They can demand answers from God. They can express their grief and rage and sorrow. They can confess their sin. They can confess systemic sin that the people of God have been a part of. They can remind God of his promises to them. They can ask him why it feels like he has forgotten them or even wounded them. And we get a feel for that in Lamentations chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. So we can express our shock, our grief, our questions, our passion to the Lord. But it's also not a denial of God. It's pointed at God. There may be sharp questions for God, but it isn't just people in desperation crying out into the empty night. Lament remembers that God is the only one who can heal and console and bring peace to our lives and situations. And a huge part of lament is remembering that and inviting God to see us and to intervene again. And you've probably heard the verses from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 and 24 again, that in the midst of this outpouring of great pain, we say, yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait on him. We pour out our grief. We pour out our anger. We pour out our questions. We pour out our powerlessness. And we also remember the goodness of the Lord, that he is our only hope. And a lament uses those things to fuel intercession and crying out to God to come again, to console and bring peace to this situation. So when we see a video from the streets of Minneapolis and the brutal murder of George Floyd, and we see injustice on our own streets, how can we not lament? And what if that was our first action, to cry out to God? Actually, the history of this island, north and south, is no stranger to lament. What do you do in the face of famine? Maybe the only thing you can do is lament. What do you do in the face of the psalm when we really think about what happened on those days? Or in a more recent history, what do you do in the face of Oma? Or Bloody Sunday? Or Bloody Friday? And sadly, too many other horrors and atrocities. In lament, we weep with those who have suffered, and we cry out for God's mercy and intervention. And so as we look at the world, as we look at the story of our family, our city, this island, as we sit with those from other places and races and they tell us of the abuse that they've suffered, what if our first courageous action was an eyes wide open lament and a deep turning to God, humbling ourselves to pray and cry out? It's the posture of humility in the face of overwhelming difficulty. The second action I have for us is to focus in and let the scriptures impact us, to meditate on scripture. And this might seem like one of Andy's fairy tales that doesn't seem like a robust action, real churchy thing that doesn't really matter, but that's not true, because here's my story. I joined the Evanston Vineyard just north of Chicago, and I had never been a part of a multi-ethnic church before, and I walked in and I saw all colors, all backgrounds, socioeconomic differences, all different types of people coming together and worshiping. And I was struck by that. I was impacted by that. And I was pushed out of my comfort zone. I had never been in a room like that before. And it was the passages from Revelation that we talked about last week, Revelations chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, that really impacted me. And I had to go away and think about that really deeply, that if this was the biblical vision, if this was the heart of God, if the glory of Jesus demanded all nations and all colors coming before him and worshiping him, then I better get started right now and get on board and be proactive about that, worshiping with people from all backgrounds and rejoicing in that. Meditation on scripture is profoundly powerful. And what scriptures do you need to meditate on when you think about people that perhaps we have placed in the category of others? Maybe it's Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44, which again we looked at last week, where Jesus invites us not just to love our neighbor, but to also love our enemies. Maybe we need to spend the next month marinating in those passages and letting that impact us. So maybe it's not a racial thing, maybe it's a class thing, maybe it's a gender thing, maybe it's an ideology thing, but where's the Holy Spirit taking you to the Word of God to challenge us? And as we meditate on it, what if we let God's words to us heal us and change us as we think deeply on it and the Spirit of God speaks to us? Well, another action I have for us is to listen from a humble posture of learning. Again, this is part of my story, and that's sitting and listening to people who have a different skin color to me, a different background to me, a different story to me, me making space for them and learning from them and asking questions. I've done that with people from different racial backgrounds, and I've been doing this for 20 years in Belfast, sitting and listening to you and your powerful stories about what's happened here, and just trying to listen before I interject my solutions or my answers. It's a part of a humble thing. And I've got a long way to go in all of that. But it's been deeply formational for me, and I would encourage you in these moments to do the same. A few things happen when we make space and we humbly listen to people who are different from us. Well, firstly, we humble ourselves and we actually listen and hear, which loves and serves the other. We give the Holy Spirit a chance to convict us. Is there anything in our hearts that need to change that we hadn't noticed, including inaction on our part? Another thing that happens is we relationally connect with the other, which humanizes them instead of dehumanizes the other. It's really hard to treat someone or a group as an other. It's hard to dismiss them and or to hate them or to not stand up for them. When we've listened to them, we've sat with them, we've built friendship with them, and we've taken time to see them as image bearers of the living God and our neighbors in this city. I had a friend when I was in theological college. He was an African-American guy, and he graciously allowed me to ask him questions about how different it was for him growing up black in America than it was for me growing up white in America. And he really gently, but lovingly and firmly challenged me that there were things I needed to see and own up to and understand and even repent of. And many of you have done the same for me in a Northern Irish context. What if a courageous action for us is to reach out and cross barriers and to humbly listen? This is one of the reasons that we in BCV have built friendship with the community up at Clonard Monastery in West Belfast, to reach across barriers in our city and to model that out. Conversations with them that aren't fake, that are real, that involve hard questions, but done in the context of humble learning. And whether we're talking about division due to race or sectarianism or anything else, this is a courageous action. To refuse to treat people as the other and to listen to them, it will provoke slow but deep change. And what would it look like to make space for more people who are different than us and let the Holy Spirit be the bridge and the guide, the one who fills that space? One thing we might find in that space is deep friendship. Another thing we might find is deep healing. And these are small but courageous and deep actions and conversations that over time will bring real change to us, to others, and I believe the very fabric of our city. Another action is to examine our narratives of the past. This is really courageous. Examine our own narratives of our own past. What did our family of origin or our story tell us about people from another race or economic background or another political viewpoint? What is good about what we receive from our family of origin or our community? And we need to honor and then continue that legacy. What was not good and what needs repented of? We need to deal with that as well. This can be a really hard journey. This takes time and real courage, but I believe it's one of the keys to dismantling systemic evil. We can leave robust, holy legacies in the lives of our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, that build the kingdom of God as they move through the generations, or we can leave toxic legacies that release chaos in the lives that come after us. This is a profound step to take in the dismantling of systemic evil of all kinds, racism, sectarianism, and many other things. I grew up in a context where there wasn't a lot of ethnic diversity, and I was exposed to toxic views on race, and I could have gone down that road if it weren't for my father. And on Father's Day, I want to honor him. It was him who told me that racism was a deep and profound sin. But he also then showed me, in the way he treated people who had a different skin color, that they were made in the image of God, and there was nothing for me to fear. He treated people with deep respect, and he also made sure I knew it, and I saw it in his own life, and it marked me. I have vivid memories of my father dealing lovingly, kindly, and respectfully with people from another race. And fathers, and certainly mothers, and aunts, and uncles, and grandparents, but fathers on Father's Day, we can strike against systemic evil of all kinds by speaking to our children about racism, classism, poverty, injustice, enemies, sectarianism, and we can show them a different way. And we're not just being nice, goody-two-shoes Christians. We're building a legacy that will cascade through generations, that may just begin to dismantle personal and systemic evil in our city and on our island. That's worth painful reflection on our own stories, to celebrate the good things and to continue legacies we've received, as well as break toxic legacies that have been flowing through and plant new legacies of the kingdom of God in the lives of our families. It is hugely courageous to examine our past and to have powerful conversations that build a legacy. Another action is simply to be ready, and not just ready, but to seek opportunities for peacemaking and justice working. To watch for the Spirit, to be ready for what He brings along, and to pray for that, and to stand on our guard, ready to be involved as soon as we discern that it's time. I certainly don't have all the answers to the complexity and problems on our streets and in our world today, but what if the Spirit of God is speaking and moving amongst us as a community to help us find actions, places God is calling us to, and the specific tasks He has in this city for us? Would you join me this morning in praying? I'm open to that. I'm willing. Show me in areas of racism, sectarianism, poverty. Jesus, I will work for your kingdom here on this earth where you have placed me. And I am no longer passive. I am active. I am watching for you. I'm watching for your Spirit. I'm looking for moments where you are speaking to me and inviting me to action and great courage. What if we were praying for not just quick bursts of these types of actions? What if we prayed for deep, long-term investments we can make as we give up our lives for Jesus' sake? Well, I want to end where you might expect me as your pastor to end, by offering up courageous worship of Jesus as the foundation and fuel for our powerful action. As we lament what is happening around our world, the racism, the injustice, the division, and those things even on our own streets, let us turn to Jesus, who not only saves us, but has triumphed on the cross over even the very powers and principalities that empower systemic evil like racism. Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15 tells us that we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive with Jesus Christ, forgiving us. And not only that, he disarmed the powers and authorities, which are Paul's language for the demonic forces behind the systemic evils like racism and sectarianism and other things. And if we are honest, we know what it's like to feel powerless in our own sin patterns, and also in the face of systemic evil, and even in the place where our personal sin colludes with or we benefit from systemic evil, or we've just stood idly by. The only hope we have for both our own sin and the sinful systems of the world is the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus' blood covers us, frees us, breaks the power of sin in our own lives, and it also breaks the power of sin in the world. We are forgiven, we are made clean, we are welcomed into his family, and then we are set free to live new lives in his kingdom and work for the renewal of all things. Kingdom legacies in all things, and the dismantling of injustice in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus, we are equipped and blessed and charged with resisting and engaging the darkness in our own hearts and in the systems of the world with courage and hope and never giving up. So as a courageous action, run to Jesus and worship him. Lift up his name as Savior and the only hope for the healing of racial division, sectarian division, systemic evil, and everything else we encounter. Let's love our neighbors. Let's refuse to have enemies. Let's fight against injustice and systemic evil. Let's pray and lament and take God's word deeply into our heart. Let's listen to others. Let's notice others who are different from us. And let's humbly posture ourselves to serve and love them and continue to work for God's kingdom in our lives and hearts and on our streets. I just want to pray for us as a community, and we'll be done. I want to encourage you, if this has stirred you up, if this has stirred up old wounds, if this has stirred up places where you feel like you need to repent, you can take advantage of prayer ministry, or I would love to pray for you. You can email me at andy@belfastcityvineyard.com. I would really love to pray for you. I'd also love to encourage you, there's an open door to repentance here. There's not one of us here that has ever gotten this all completely right. And there's an open door of repentance. There's an open door in the presence of Jesus for forgiveness and mercy and renewal, to reset some of those legacies we received, to stop them dead in their tracks, and to create legacies of blessing and hope and service and love and justice in Jesus' name all over our families and this city. So I want to pray for us for that, and also just warn us. If we're committing to action in these areas, that commitment will be tested. It may even be tested this week. Will we stand up? Will we speak up? Will we be available to be part of the solution in this city? So I just want to pray for us to be ready and willing and able. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this beautiful church and these beautiful people. Would you empower us to be the church, to preach your gospel, but to live your gospel? Would you cause us to become ever more ethnically diverse? Would you bring people from all backgrounds in this city, gather around Jesus in our community? That would be such an honor to love and serve and welcome them and to grow in this way. We want to be a church that reflects the biblical vision of heaven. All backgrounds, all nations, all races, bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus at the end of all things. We want to be that people. So would you empower us to watch for where you're already moving? Would you empower us to listen? Would you empower us for all these different courageous actions? Speak to us through your word. Speak to us as we lament and cry out in deep pain and pray. Would you be with us, Lord? And would we have powerful voices and speak into these situations? Give us your wisdom, give us your grace, prepare us for the tests and challenges that are coming. We submit our whole lives to you. We thank you for your great salvation that not only deals with our personal darkness, but empowers us to be agents of light and hope that bring change into the dark corners of the world. We bless you and love you. Help us, Lord Jesus. Amen. Have a great Father's Day and the rest of your week.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.